Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the radio.com app.
Here's Smith back to pass. Dallas brings six. He runs out of time. And Smith is picked off by Jalen Smith. 35 being chased by McLaurin. 20-15-10 and tackled at the four-yard line. Dallas will take over there off the interception by Jalen Smith.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the hustle by Terry McLaurin. He is fast. He's the only reason he did not get in the end zone there on that one.
Yeah, that was certainly a massive play in the game. They got a little bit lucky when CeeDee Lamb dropped the touchdown pass that was right in his hands on third and goal with that spot. But what a hustle play by really the guy that's emerged as, you know, debatably the best player on the team, Terry McLaurin. He was outstanding once again. We bring in J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington. Of course, JP's got a podcast. He's part of the post-game show on NBC Sports Washington, covers the team for NBC Sports Washington. There are several things that I've got marked down to get to you on, but let's just start with your overall impression of the game and the win.
A dominant Thanksgiving win? I mean, that this city is allowed to have fun today. I mean, that was just I think Dallas is a little bit of fool's gold coming off their win over Minnesota. But Washington was great, and it's been what Ron Rivera's kind of talked about for a few weeks, that he feels like his team's really starting to put things together. And I'll give him credit because he was kind of saying it even after the gut punch losses to the Giants and the Lions. Last week's win over the Bengals, I don't think was much to write home about, but they finally – put all three phases together, and I'll include special teams. Hot made all his kicks, and you know they sniffed out that fake punt. It was a dominant team win, and they have the inside track on winning this division now. And we can make fun of it, but if they host a playoff game, everybody's going to be very, very excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, I had somebody call in earlier and say, I really want them to continue to play well, but not make the playoffs so that they can get the higher draft choice. That's not where I am
right
now.
That ship has sailed.
I have, you know, I've felt here over the last 6 weeks that it's been, you know, we did a whole segment last week on is Ron, you know, do you agree with Ron Rivera that, you know, that he's more encouraged and he's thinking it's really coming around. And I think watching this team over the last 6 weeks, there's no doubt it's been coming around. But you can also acknowledge, and reasonably so, that it's been against subpar competition. So that leads me to this. Do you think right now, forget record, but the way they're playing right now, are they a good team?
No. I mean, they're 4-7. You gotta.
I said forget record. How they've played here over the last six games, 3-3. All right, the three losses by 7 total points. Their 3 wins by 58 total points. Forget it. What their record is right now. How are they playing? Are they playing well? Are they playing like a good team?
Almost. I'll give you almost, Kev. Last week's win over the Bengals, I'm not sure what happens if Joe Burrow doesn't get hurt. The way Cincinnati was able to move the football, we saw yesterday that, you know, for a half, for 30 minutes, they were able to stop the big plays against the Bengals. But this defense has given up big plays week after week after week. I don't want to be a I don't want to be Debbie Downer on the Friday after Thanksgiving after a 41-16 win in Dallas. So I'm not trying to say that they're – I mean, I guess I am saying they're not a good team. Can I reverse the question to you, Kev? Or you think they're a good team?
Well, it's interesting. I think right now
– I think they're feisty.
Two weeks ago after they lost to Detroit, my theme at the beginning of the show was you can say whatever you want, but this team does not suck. And it doesn't. And, you know, regardless of what their record is, you know, you have the same perspective as guys that bet the sport. You know that sometimes records are not reflective of where a team is in that moment. You know, Cincinnati would have, if Joe Burrow didn't get hurt on that play, he would have come back into the game down 14-9. So I'm not one of those who subscribes to Washington would have lost the game had Joe Burrow not gotten hurt. And remember, Cincinnati had just beaten the Titans 2 weeks earlier. And we're capable all year long, except against Washington's next opponent, which really will be the test for them of the year. But I would, I'll tell you what I will, I'll answer it this way. I think right now the best threat to win a playoff game as a division winner out of the NFC East is Washington.
I agree with that. We recorded a podcast kind of late last night after the win, and I mean, this is silly, and this is a peak Washington football fans exercise. But go through the teams that Washington could potentially play. Because, I mean, keep in mind that they're going to be a division winner, so they'd only play the team that would be a wild card winner in the playoffs. And we're way premature on this. I'd give them a shot against all of them. The Rams, the Cardinals. I mean, now granted, they played both of them and lost to both of them. Alex Smith being on the field changes things. And I know that maybe this wasn't the plan, but did you see Chase Young's tweet last night about 11?
No.
I talked about this last night. Back in 2018, so Chris Thompson is one of the all-time good guys in the NFL and a good media guy, where he would talk on the record for a while, and then the cameras would turn off, the mics would turn off, and Chris would talk for another, 5 minutes or so. And I'll never forget how Thompson talked about Alex Smith. And he just said, in all my time in the NFL, college football, wherever it is, I've never felt as confident as when Alex Smith is in the huddle. And the way he calls plays, the way he carries himself. And if you listen to guys talk about Alex, he has changed how this team feels about itself. And if you consider that, and if they actually get to the first week of January and have a playoff game, they think they have a shot. Chase Young last night, I'm trying to pull it up real quick.
I love me some 11.
Yeah. I mean, that is so simple and kind of you can dismiss it, but it means something. Alex Smith leading this team means something. And the story's incredible. All of it's incredible. Are they a good team? I'm not sure. Are they capable of winning anytime they step on the field right now? I'll say yes.
We're talking to J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington. I mentioned earlier in the show the two big stunners of the year, as we have now completed 11 games, is that Alex Smith not only came back out onto the field, but has played well. Better than well. He's been outstanding the last 3.5 games, and it cost me a lot of money in my bet with you because I didn't think it would happen. The other part of it, though, and it's part of why he's played well, is that the weapons around him are much better than any of us thought. And we shouldn't have been so definitive sounding in August anyway, because we hadn't seen Gibson. We didn't know what Barber or McKissick would be in this offense. We knew Terry McLaurin had talent and thought he was a number one wide receiver and could be really, really good. But we didn't know about Logan Thomas. The offense fits Alex Smith, and he's got good playmaking talent around him. Not elite, okay? But it's versatile and it's pretty decent, much better than we thought. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would, and I'll credit you for. I feel like you've been on that for a little while now, and you've been right in the skill position players. I think. I mean, look at the numbers. Logan Thomas at his price tag versus Austin Hooper at his price tag. I think Washington was right. And I go back to the combine where it was kind of leaking out that Austin Hooper wanted franchise, you know, wanted new tight end record money. And right. somebody with Washington was like, yeah, we're not going to pay that. They made the right call there. I think Logan Thomas has really been a revelation. McLaurin is a star. He just does everything right. He had 7 for 92 yesterday, and it was kind of we're all as a fan base, people are just like, oh yeah, that's just Terry. Like that would be a huge deal for this team that hasn't had a dominant wide receiver in a long time. And even when you had Pierre and Deshaun, Deshaun was a home run hitter. So with home run hitters, it's either you get one or you go over three with two Ks. And then Pierre was a possession guy. He was good. Don't get me wrong. But Pierre Garçon was – Terry McLaurin's significantly better than him already. A lot of it is because of the, you know, the deep speed. I mean, Terry's a 4.3, 4.4 guy. That's just different. The one name I kind of think you left out, though, Ken, is Scott Turner.
I was just about to mention him, dude, to see how much credit you would give Turner because I think he deserves a lot of it.
Big time. I like this offense a lot. I think it's forward thinking. I know there are games where people get caught up in the run numbers and carries. I would just look at touches for Gibson and McKissick and not carries. Because I think a lot of these throws are designed plays to get the ball in the running back's hands in space. This might not sound how I want it to. Antonio Gibson has been a force for this team. I mean, 5 straight games of the TD. He's, you know, 115 last night in Dallas. I'm not sure he's that good yet. I think he could be significantly better, which is crazy. But I don't think he's that – I don't – if you ask him, I think he believes he can be a significantly better running back.
I think you and I have had this conversation before. Cooley's pointed it out several times on my podcast that he's got to learn, he's got to keep getting better at being a zone runner, which, you know, involves, you know, vision and patience. I think yesterday was one of his better days as a vision runner, even though he missed some things. You know, it was interesting, JP, too, in talking about, you're 100% right. A lot of these run extension throws, a lot of these planned checkdowns to get the ball into their playmakers' hands in space. Yesterday, because they had so many third and shorts, they had 5 third and ones in the game, we didn't see McKissick on the field nearly like we usually do. But when he was out there, you know, he was in their plans. You know, they had that 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 10. It was like a check down, and it's like there's no way somebody can stop McKissick one-on-one in space. I do like a lot of what they're doing. I mean, I say all of this with the understanding and the reasonable assertion by many that are listening, they haven't played anybody here over the last 6 weeks, Sheehan and Finley. They haven't played anybody. They get the Steelers next.
So, of course. And it appears that Pittsburgh might be coming off a 2-week layoff also. Because I don't know what's going on with this Baltimore game, but I got a hard time believing it's happening. But, I mean, what if Pittsburgh ends up playing Tuesday, and then they have to get ready for Washington on Sunday? I'm not going to be too concerned about the result with Pittsburgh. And here's why. I think we all just got done with an election, right? And all they talk about in election are these battleground states. I think San Francisco is your battleground state. I think the Niners are beat up everywhere. I think that's a winnable game. And I recognize it's on the road, but they just went on the road and won yesterday. So there's no reason to say they can't do it. If they can pick that one off, if they can win against the Niners out west, I think there's no doubt they win the division. And not to be dismissive of their next game and their next opponent, but the Steelers are clearly a superior team. Now, the NFL's funky. I mean, strange things happen every year. I remember when I was a kid, that 91 Washington team was the best team I ever saw play football, and then they lost to Dallas when they shouldn't have. So the NFL always has odd results. But, I mean – not that you should look past one game, but they've got 5 games left. I think 3 of them are winnable. Obviously, Philly at the end of the year. I think the Panthers winning that Carolina game is going to mean something to Ron. And I think this Niners game is almost an opportunity for this team to prove that they belong and that they're in a different category than where they were a month ago or 2 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think of the next three, they got to get one. You know, so if they can get one, that sets them up for the possibility of a 7-9 season, which would win the division more likely than not with games against the Panthers and the Eagles.
I think seven, you'll be two games clear to win the division.
Yeah, I think so too. I think 6-10, I think the Giants can win three more. I think the Giants are capable of winning three more games. I actually had a thought going in.
But I think the Giants are playing. I think the bye week came at a bad time for New York.
Because they were
playing pretty good football.
Maybe. I mean, this is must-win for them on Sunday against a Joe Burrow-less, you know, Bengals team.
Sure.
But I would not – look, the Steelers barely beat the Cowboys a couple of weeks ago. And you know what? They got beat up in that game a little bit. And they got fortunate on a couple of very sketchy calls that kept drives alive to give them the lead late in the game. And that was Garrett Gilbert at quarterback. So I think it's the NFL. Every week is a possibility. I'm excited to see that because it's the first legit hardcore defensive team they have faced since Alex Smith and this offense has been on a roll. And to your point, you know, people have looked at various things over the last couple of weeks and complained about various things like points, and that is important. But if you look at what they've been doing offensively, possessing the ball, converting on third down, it's almost been, you know, a total aberration that they didn't generate more points against the Lions in the first half, as an example, because they should have, you know, but they had a lot, you know, they've had turnovers, they've had missed field goals, et cetera. But I do think it's interesting. Back to Rivera, because you're able to talk to him a lot, including, you know, on your NBC Sports Washington interview. I have believed what he's been saying about being encouraged here over the last few weeks. I've seen it, you know, again. And by the way, I think that the one thing I loved about him, JP, when they hired him, is whenever I watched Carolina over the years as a football fan, I always felt like they were a tough team and a disciplined team. And wouldn't it be nice to have one of those here in town after the last 6 years? You know, to have a guy that is going to coach defense and we're going to be physical and we're going to be disciplined. I thought yesterday, by far and away, was the moment of what I saw a lot of Carolina over the last several years. The tougher, more physically imposing and more disciplined team yesterday. And by the way, he went for it with a lot of, you know, trick plays and stuff, recognizing the moment, which was, we got to win this game. I thought it was a great day for him and his staff.
I totally agree. I always, Sean McVay had this saying that I go back to a lot, and it's attack success. Go out there and with the intention of kicking butt, for lack of a better word. And I thought Washington did that yesterday. And I'll circle back to Scott Turner a little bit. Everybody killed him for the reverse call in Detroit on second and two. And we all know that backfired, and then Alex took the sack on third down. But I think it means a lot for a young guy to kind of not back off his full arsenal of plays. And I think that's worked out well for him. But I think for Ron, for defensively to play well, special teams have really been a problem this year. And a lot of that kind of stems on Hopkins missing kicks in a lot of games. But if you go through their expected points on special teams, they're in the negative most weeks. And I think – I also think Mike McCarthy in Dallas called an awful game. The fourth down from their own 34 I thought was incredibly stupid. The fake punt was not only a bad time for a fake punt, but the actual play call was wildly stupid. You had fourth
and
10.
Well, he's blaming it on the execution, and people are pointing out that there was a receiver open, but it didn't look like Wilson intended to throw the ball. Bottom line is, it's a four-point game, and you're deep in your own territory, and it's not fourth and four. It's fourth and 10.
Fourth and 10, and the player that got the football that was intended to convert the first down was 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So all of those things help. But yeah, I think Ron needed a big win. I think it's good for the organization. I think it's good for the players. I think they get to, and then you get a little bit of a long layoff. Give them, I won't be shocked if they're not expected back in the facility till Monday. Give them a few days. Now they all have to come in and get their COVID tests. I mean, it's a different year. But I just think the gut punch losses against the Giants and the Lions, I think they mattered. And I think it's part of building resilience. And I think it was there for the taking. Also, Kevin, and you and I kind of pay attention to the numbers. Anytime a coach is breaking out the stunts, right? And Mike McCarthy went full stuntman when he started smashing watermelons the night before the Vikings game.
Yeah.
You can get an emotional response for a game, but you're not going to get an emotional response for two games in 5 days. And I think that among the many mistakes that dude made, I think the watermelon stuff Saturday night with a game on Thursday was incredibly short-sighted. I think Washington football fans should hope Mike McCarthy coaches the Cowboys for the next decade.
Yeah, he had no feel for the game. I mean, in a half that was, you know, back and forth, they threw it 19 times, ran it 9 times, when last week they were very effective with balance and with a running game. And I actually thought early, you know, look, Washington's struggled a little bit, you know, in recent games against the run, in their consistency against the run. I can't believe that that wasn't more of the game plan for him. We're talking to J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington.
They gave up 100 yards to Alfred Morris and Wayne Gallman 3 weeks ago. And you're not going to just give Ezekiel Elliott the football?
Or Pollard Moore, who's been excellent.
Sure.
About, you know, the third and one, fourth and one, you know, from their own 34, the third and one was, you know, basically a fly sweep slash shovel pass to CeeDee Lamb that got stopped cold by Holcomb. Holcomb played well. And then, you know, on fourth and one, it's maybe even a little bit less than one. You're not going to line up and run, you know, your highest priced player on offense. That didn't make any sense. Although, again, there were a couple of spots, right? They got lucky on that one because I think that was PI on Darby. I do. I thought that was sort of an obvious PI call missed. And then after the McLaurin, great play running down Jalen Smith, CeeDee Lamb just flat out dropped the touchdown pass on third down. Great throw by Dalton.
Third down.
Right in his hands, and just flat out drops it. So there are moments like
it
that.
Also, but driven him back. I mean, third and 10?
They had, yeah, it was. I think it was from the 10, wasn't it?
So I mean,
it was from the 10.
It's a little bit of a game changer when you could go backwards on first and second.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. They had the, I think, was that the bubble that they stopped Lamb and knocked him for the loss, the Reeves tackle? I think it was right before the third and goal from the 10.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because the third and goal from the 10 was Lamb, who was, you know, turned the balls right in his hands, and he's been phenomenal this year, and he just dropped it. But anyway, couple of other things real quickly. Speaking of Reeves basically got the same number of snaps as Apke. And by the way, looked better than Apke. Apke still continues to be a problem in my mind's eye. Is Everett due to be back or not?
I don't know. I thought it was optimistic for him to be back this week on a short week, although he did practice, I think, Tuesday when we were out there. Now he'll get – I mean, you could almost rest him a week because Wednesday there was no practice. You don't need to see him on the field again until next Thursday, I would say, or even next Friday. So that's a good chunk of rest. But it's a high ankle sprain, and I mean, you know, anybody that follows the NFL knows that those high ankle sprains, the problem with the high ankle sprain, if you like feel your leg and your foot, is that it comes down, like it's up above, like calling it an ankle sprain is kind of unfair because it's up where the bone is. It's like above it's above the foot almost. It's almost like a lower leg
high ankle
sprain.
Sprains are worse than actually breaking the ankle, actually, many times.
Because they linger. Well, at least if you break your ankle, you know you're out 2 months.
Right.
With a high ankle sprain, there's this hope that maybe you can get back out there. And what you certainly hope is that you don't try to push it and then you're unable, and then it sets you further back. And I think they'll be smart. I know DeShazer. He's a warrior in every sense of the word. He will do everything he can to be on the field. Let him rest till next Thursday. Give him a full week and see what happens.
Two quick ones. I'm up against a break. Number one, did they come out of that game relatively healthy?
Seemed like it.
And then number two, the pregame story from Ian Rappaport saying the team wants Alex Smith back next year. Just give me 30 seconds on that.
Makes sense. To me, it makes sense in almost every capacity, except for admitting how terribly they botched the 15th overall pick in 2019.
Oh, and God. So true.
And that story is kind of like played out at this point. We all know what happened with Dwayne, and Dwayne's being a good teammate with Alex. But you got to give Dwayne a fresh start in the offseason. I would expect Ron to do that. He's not a guy that lets things kind of linger around. I won't be shocked if they draft a quarterback, but I mean, if they get to 7, but if they get to 6 wins with how bad some of these teams are, you might be talking about the 9th, 10th pick. And I don't know.
Yeah. Unless they make the playoffs, and then you got to go to the back of the line because the playoff teams, every non-playoff team picks regardless of record before the playoff teams.
If they make the playoffs, I think you're probably talking about the 16th pick. Something
it's like
17th that.
Or whatever. Yeah. Depending on how this season shakes out, there's still the possibility of a 16-team playoff if we get cancellations. And this Baltimore, I don't know if you saw the Field Yates tweet, but I actually thought it made a lot of sense. The league, I don't think, is going to go dark next Thursday night. Baltimore, Dallas are scheduled for next Thursday night. If Baltimore and Pittsburgh are off on Sunday, which it certainly looks like that is the odds on favorite.
Right.
Baltimore, Dallas could get pushed back to next Sunday. And Washington and Pittsburgh would be the two teams that aren't playing on Sunday, and it would make sense to move them to Thursday. So I think there's a lot of schedule reshuffling coming up because of this Baltimore situation here over the next 24 hours. Be interesting to watch.
What are the chances that me and the thousands of people that love it could get a revamped mock schedule for the last 5 weeks of the season?
No, that's an April tradition. That is not, as Doc says, is there a game today? I'm not talking about the people that aren't playing in the game. I'm not talking about schedules when we're in the midst of a season, which, by the way, as my good friend Steve Zabin always says, there's a season now to go out and have. Let's go have ourselves a season. Why not? There's still 5 games left. 7-9. Think about this. Before the season started, we would have all paid for 7-9. It would have been arrow pointed upwards, more likely than not. Nobody saw 7 wins, really. But 7-9 in a home playoff game, Rivera's doing a phenomenal job here over the last 6 games. I don't care what anybody out there says about Rivera. There's a lot of mixed messaging. There's a lot of, disheveled, in many cases concerning moments in the first 5-6 weeks of the season. This team has come around and played great football, hung in there, and yesterday was a banner day for the organization, or for the football part of the organization, and for Ron Rivera in particular. I'm very, very intrigued now to see what the rest of it looks like this year.
The guys have stuck with him all year. They're playing hard. I think things got away from him a little bit between Haskins. I don't think he was expecting kind of the veracity of DC's not a hard media town for sports, but it's a hard media town on the Washington football team. I don't know that he was expecting that. And the Haskins thing kind of just blew up on everyone. But I think Ron is showing you the kind of coach he is right now, for sure.
Yeah, they were tough yesterday. Tackling was the best it's been all year. Thanks. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, man.
JP Finley, everybody. Smell test up next. Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, the team980.com. And many of you love it, so do I. We're now on the new radio.com app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Can you smell it?
It's time for the smell test.
Do you smell something?
We look where John Q. Public is putting their cash.
Trust me, you just gotta get past the smell.
And go the other way.
Can you feel it? Can you smell it?
Kevin's smell test on the Team 980.
All right, inching our way back. Good week last week, 11-7, 4-1 in the NFL, and then I had Washington as an early smell test Thanksgiving Day play yesterday, +3. I've been right a lot about Washington. I've been right in any game involving Minnesota this year, 6-0 in all of the games involving the Vikings, either on them or on their opponent. Last week, I told you Dallas +7 was a major anti-public play, and I thought Dallas had a chance to win that game outright, and they did. Will Minnesota be in it again? Washington was in it. We'll see. It's a strange week. You know, it's another one of these weeks in college football where you've got a lot of cancellations, so obviously there won't be selections there. By the way, many of you, have said, well, what happened to the Stanford game last week? You had Stanford in the smell test where the game was canceled. So that's neither a won or a loss. That's called a voided bet. And I got a little lucky on a couple of games like Hawaii last week late. I might have the rainbows again today. But it's a strange college football season, and I hesitate as I look at the board each Saturday because I'm like, look, some of these games, by the time we get to them, might not even be played. I might give you one right now that's already been canceled or postponed that I just didn't even catch. It's a strange, strange year, there's no doubt. With that said, they're taking bets on these games anyway. You know, Vegas's sports books and all of the offshore casinos, they're all open for business. And they all have games in which they need a side. You know, I've explained this, and I was explaining this to a friend of mine, actually, the other night. He said, you always say you like to be on the side of the house. What does that mean? Well, typically, the goal of a sports book, the person who takes your wagers, is to have an evened out book. You know, equal action on both sides. And then they collect what's called the vigorish, the vig, the percent that you pay in a fee if you lose. Most of you know this, but for those that don't, if you bet $100 yesterday on Washington plus the 3 points, you won the bet and you get paid $100. If you bet on Dallas laying the 3 points, you lost the bet, you lost $110. More often than not, it's a -110 or you pay a 10% fee on a straight bet loss. So a book, the house, the sports book at a casino in Vegas or the sports book offshore or your local bookie would love to have $5,000 on Washington, $5,000 on the Cowboys, and make $500 on the game regardless of the result. That's what they would prefer. But it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes you see a game in which there's too much action on one side, and even if they adjust the point spread to try to even out their book, then they don't always do it. So sometimes your bookmaker, your illegal bookie, or a legal bookmaker will have a need. They'll need a decision. They'll need a game to go one way versus the other to win. And those are the games I usually look for. And then when I find one of those games where they're not adjusting the point spread to incent more action on the other side to try to even out the book, then I really love it. Strange year in college football, for sure. Maybe about to get strange in the NFL with this Baltimore-Pittsburgh thing. But they're accepting bets on these games anyway, so we're going to give out a lot of picks this weekend. 11-7 last weekend, 18 selections. There were actually 19. The Stanford game got postponed. But let's get started. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because there's so many games. We got a lot of games today. And this is one of those where I'm like, are you really going to give out Nebraska again? You've gotten burned on Nebraska. What is it, Sheehan, with you and the Cornhuskers? They suck. They do suck. But they're a 14-point underdog today at Iowa in a 1 o'clock game. And the world is on the Hawkeyes, who have really played well and are, by the way, an exceptionally well-coached team. And this is going to be one of those games where the house needs Nebraska to cover the 14. Give me Nebraska plus the 14. You know, there's a really good game today at 3:30, a big game in the overall playoff race, in the ACC race, Notre Dame playing an ACC schedule. It's Notre Dame in Chapel Hill today laying 5.5 against the Tar Heels. The Tar Heels stink defensively, but man, can they score. The public believes Notre Dame's going to destroy North Carolina. I did not take BC a few weeks ago when a lot of people thought I should have because they looked like an anti-public play, which they were, but there was sharp money on Notre Dame that day. This time, there's some sharp money on North Carolina a little bit. I'm going to take the Heels plus. It's actually 6 now, all right? I'm getting 6 against Notre Dame today. I think that could be 52. That's got like 48-44 written all over it, one way or the other. There's another game tonight. Stanford's going to play a game. They haven't played in a while. They're laying 1.5 at Cal in the big game. I'll take Stanford laying 1.5. The public seems to think Cal's pretty good. Tomorrow, Oregon State in the Civil War game against Oregon is getting 14. Oregon State's better than people think. I gave out UCLA last week plus 17 against Oregon. They nearly won the game, or they had a chance to win it at the end. I like Oregon State plus the 14 in that rivalry game. That game's today as well, right? I think the Oregon-Oregon State game is tonight as well. So I was wrong about that. So you got a couple of opportunities here on Friday games. A lot of you, I'm sure, think I'm going to give out Penn State plus 1 against Michigan. I'm not going to do it. There's sharp money on Michigan. Maryland, how about this? The Terps back in action tomorrow right here on the Team 980 off of their 2 wins in a row, all right, impressive against Penn State, certainly in their last game. Then 2 postponements against Ohio State and Michigan State for COVID. They're playing Indiana, who played Ohio State really tough last week. They had a couple of possessions down a touchdown. They didn't win, but they covered easily. They opened up as a 13-point favorite over Maryland. It's down to 11.5 in this game. The Terps are the play. They're the anti-public play. I'll take Maryland plus 11.5. Clemson's laying 23 to Pitt. They always have trouble. The public's on Clemson, but Clemson always has trouble with pro-style offenses. That's why BC was close, even against a Clemson team without Trevor Lawrence. I like Pitt plus the 23 against Clemson. Actually, that line just moved to 24, so give me Pitt plus 24. Michigan State is playing Northwestern off Northwestern's dominant performance against Wisconsin. Northwestern now in the driver's seat to win the Big Ten West and play in the Big Ten title game, if there is one. The public loves Northwestern. They're laying less than 2 touchdowns. The number's 13.5. I'll take the Spartans plus the 13.5. I like, where's my other college game real quickly? As we go. By the way, you got an Auburn-Alabama game. I don't like the game either way. Here it is. Hawaii again. Sorry. Nevada's undefeated. Hawaii's 2-3. The line 7 makes no sense. I'll take Hawaii plus the 7. See if we can get the rainbows 2 weeks in a row. Let's go to the NFL on Sunday. There are several games that make a lot of sense to me. Several major public plays this weekend, so I'm going against the public with some sharp money as well. I'll start with New England getting 2. They got beat last week against Houston. I gave out Houston in that game. The public loves the Cardinals laying 2 in Foxborough. I'll take the Pats plus the 2. Nobody's giving Cincinnati without Joe Burrow a chance against the Giants, who are now laying 6. The Bengals are going to start Brandon Allen, not Ryan Finley. I'll take the Bengals plus the 6. Big game for Buffalo as they continue to try to keep some distance in the AFC East. They're laying less than a touchdown against the Chargers, who didn't cover last week against the Jets. I like the Chargers plus 5.5 in Orchard Park against Buffalo. I liked the Jets last week. I didn't give them out. I played them personally against the Chargers. They're only getting 7 at home against the Dolphins. I'll take the Jets plus 7. Denver's been a covering machine recently. Had them last week. I like them again this week. Plus 6, less than a touchdown at home against the Saints. And then Monday night, I like the Eagles. The public's all over Seattle, laying less than a touchdown at Philadelphia. I like the Eagles plus the 5. I'd lean heavily on Atlanta at home plus 3 against the Raiders. I'm going to pass on that. There's some sharp money on Vegas. All right, recapping. Got a lot of games here. I didn't even count them up. Nebraska plus 14. North Carolina plus 6. Stanford laying 1.5. Oregon State plus 14. Tomorrow, Maryland plus 11.5. Pitt plus 24. Michigan State plus 13.5. And Hawaii plus 7. On Sunday, New England plus 2. Cincinnati plus 6. The Chargers plus 5.5. The Jets plus 7. Denver plus 6. And the Eagles plus 5. There's your smell test. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about that fumble Ruski play and the history of it. It's actually very interesting. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com, and on the new radio.com app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Back up to the line. Trick play here as Alex Smith fakes a reverse and then hands it off to J.D. McKissic, who finds some space to the 11. So a second trick play by Washington here in the first half.
Well, go ahead and get funky with it. As the whole offensive line is standing up, Alex Smith hikes the football, rolls out of there, hands it to J.D. McKissic. Nobody moves except for Alex and one of the other running backs, Antonio Gibson, that is, and they run out right. And J.D. McKissic runs out left with the offensive line and cuts it back and almost has a shot to pick up even more yards than he does. But I'll take that first down and goal right now.
It actually goes back to a movie called Little Giants, okay? And it's called, I hope I don't get in trouble, but it's called The Annexation of Puerto Rico. We nicknamed it the Bumaruski so that because most of these guys don't understand it, so we had to explain to them who Bum Phillips is, and we did it in tribute to him as chairman of the Bummer.
If you've been a longtime football fan, you know what the Bumaruski is, the Fumbleruski play is. And I love that he gave credit to Bum Phillips in addition to giving credit to that movie, The Little Giants, with I think Ed O'Neill was in that movie. I vaguely remember it. But the actual creator of that play was indeed Bum Phillips, the longtime head coach of the Houston Oilers. There's a long story about this play that was written back in the late 1980s. Because Florida State used the play in a punt formation, handing it to the up man in a play that was called Punt Ruski. And it beat Clemson in a crazy game in the late 80s. Well, the story was written about how that play came together. Bum Phillips first used it at Nederland High School in Texas when he was the head coach in the early 1950s, and he nicknamed the play the Bumaruski. Well, Bobby Bowden, who ran it in that game against Clemson in 1988, didn't ever give Bum Phillips credit for it. He gave Jerry Claiborne credit for that. Who's Jerry Claiborne, many of you ask? Some of you know. Jerry Claiborne was actually the head coach of Maryland, turned Maryland into a big-time top 20 program during the 1970s with Randy White, a big part of that. And he said when Claiborne was at Virginia Tech, Bobby Bowden did, he said Claiborne ran it there. Claiborne told the story. He said, we needed yardage to get in field goal range. We ran it, but they called clipping on us, and we ended up losing the game 7-6. But Bowden always remembered the play. But the play dated back to Bum Phillips, who used it many times in college when he went to coach at Texas A&M for Bear Bryant, used it multiple times in the NFL when he coached at Houston and New Orleans. And he had a quote in here. He said, I remember using it against the Raiders one time for a first down, but once the play gets associated with you, and maybe I shouldn't have named it the Bumaruski, he said, everybody starts to expect it, and you could start to hear defenses screaming to look out for it. Anyway, Nebraska used it famously in a play that they dubbed Fumbleruski, where the quarterback actually leaves the ball on the ground for the guard to pick it up and run with it. The version yesterday was a snapback to Alex Smith, who put it between the legs with J.D. McKissic looking forward, and him and Gibson moving right, the offensive line moving left. It picked up 6 yards in a first down, although really it was played pretty well by the Cowboys. You know, I think at one point Rivera had talked about using the play at Carolina in 2011 where they scored on the play. They didn't score on the play because Dallas actually played it pretty well, but it did get a first down. I loved what they did yesterday as a team. I loved what Ron Rivera did, having his team not only, you know, ready and prepared and willing to take risks, but physically tough and disciplined. That was the hallmark of those Carolina teams. You know, whether they were ever great or just good, when they had good teams, and even when they weren't good, they often overachieved, and you always noticed it. On defense and with some of the risks that Rivera would take during the game. Big day for them yesterday. You know, one of the questions we'll ask on Monday is, have they become a mediocre team at least? Like I said 2 weeks ago, they don't suck. That's for sure. Big day yesterday. I hope everybody had a great holiday. Thanks to Anthony for producing. Thanks to JP Finley for joining us on the show today. And thanks to all of you who called in. Back on Monday, Al Galdi up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.